Our God is an awesome God, and He is worthy of all of our praise, and it is a great joy once again to be sharing here at the Great Bridge Church and to witness all of the amazing things that God is doing here in the midst of this family. Can we give it up for Pastor Jones and Lady Jones? For they are gifts to the body of Christ, and they are such a blessing to both me and my family. And I thank God for the years that we've had the opportunity to relate and to be a part of each other's lives, and to watch them grow and to watch us grow and to see what God is doing in the midst of all of our lives. It is an amazing time. I'm always encouraged and blessed, and to see the children and them growing, man, it's just like, we go back to middle school. Jones was in middle school and I was serving as a youth director, and God formed us and even connected us even then. And to see us now, man, it is a tremendous opportunity. I'm so grateful for a part of this church family. I have so many relationships and friends and persons that we have been connected through the years. And so we're grateful for this opportunity to share. Well, are y'all ready for the word of God this morning? I'm excited because this week, as Pastor has just mentioned, begins what we know in the Christian community as Passion Week. And it becomes the final week as our Savior and our Lord prepares to go before that cross. And so in the spirit of where God has you in this ministry and your pastor is leading you, I want to just kind of lay some foundation for this week and to help encourage us as we go through this week and prepare for Easter Sunday. So I want to invite you to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, the first chapter. And when you get to the Gospel of John chapter 1, I want you to go down to about verse 35. Verse 35 of the Gospel of John. And for the sake of reading, we'll look at verses 35 through 42. I'm reading out of the NIV translation, and there you'll find these words. Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus, as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and, seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and they saw where he was staying and remained with him the day. One of the two heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah." And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas." This is the word of God for the people of God. I just want to revisit just one quick part of this for our emphasis. And it says, they said to him, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and see." And they came and they saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. One of the two heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," and he brought him to Jesus. I want to tag this text as the Holy Spirit shall guide us this morning, and I just want to simply talk about this morning, sharing Jesus now. Sharing Jesus now. You may be seated in the presence of our God. Father, I thank you for this opportunity that we have to both corporately and virtually worship you today. I thank you for the worship that has now made the ground fertile for your word. Spirit of the living God, I ask that you would just speak in this place today. Holy Spirit, there are persons watching today that need this word, and convict us now, encourage us now, motivate us, and challenge us now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And we all say together, amen. Share Jesus now. I have a habit that normally when I travel, or my family, we travel, and we go to a particular city or a particular area, I love to engage and ask the locals of that particular city or community or area for the best places to eat, the best places to entertain, and the unique experiences that make that particular city known for whatever it may be known for. I've come to understand, and over the years, I have built a nice little list that I have in my phone. So wherever I am or whatever city I'm in, instead of going to the top brand restaurants or the chain restaurants, I love the local spots. If I'm in an area that's known for seafood, I like to go to where the locals go. And what has always fascinated me that when I just walk up to strangers, or if I'm walking or getting out of the airport, or wherever the driver may be, or if we're walking and I'm in the hotel and the attendants, it's always interesting to me the moment I ask for the best places to eat, or what should we experience here while we're in this city, or what's the best places to be entertained here, and some of the local things. It is always fascinating to me how, no matter the color or the creed, how eager persons are to tell you, oh, you gotta go here to eat, or you gotta experience this while you're here, or you gotta try this while you're in town. And sometimes they ask, well, how long is your stay? Because they begin to just ramble off many places to eat or places to try and experience to engage upon. And it's always interesting how eager and often how excited they get to have that opportunity to share those experiences. I know some of us experience it, but me and my wife, anytime we're looking for something, even now in this social and digital space we have, you can just put something on Facebook and ask, hey, if you're looking for a doctor, or if you're looking for a place to train, or whatever it is, all you got to do is just what? Ask Facebook, right? Just post it on Facebook. I know my wife is a part of these mom groups on Facebook, and anything we want to know, or anything we're looking for, whether it's Mexican, Chinese, or whatever it may be, she just posted it, or post a question in the group. And man, by the end of in the matter of moments sometimes, she has a whole list of names and recommendations and places to try, right? All because people are eager to share the resources and the experiences and even the good persons that they have found. Sometimes gets me about us, as we, as Christians, we can do this with ease when it comes to places to eat and experiences we found, and places to be entertained, and places to shop, and places to visit, and whether it's a pediatrician or a doctor or a masseuse or whatever it may be, we can eagerly and with great excitement and with quick response share with others those things and places and even people we found. But what sometimes gets me is how reluctant we are when it comes to sharing Jesus. We use our social media platforms and we post out when we're out to eat, or if we've got a fine dining experience, or we found a great spot, we can do it in the matter of seconds. We'll post a picture, or we'll go live on our Instagram or our Facebook, and we'll let everybody know, let all of our friends know what we have found. But I rarely see us doing the same when it comes to Jesus. We are reluctant, we are reserved when it comes to sharing Jesus. That's why Andrew helps us today. That's why Andrew becomes so significant for us this morning in light of this week and the significance of this week as we prepare for Easter, because often Andrew, as one of the followers of Jesus and one of the disciples of Jesus, he doesn't oftentimes get the credit or the attention that some of the other disciples get. We know John, we know Peter, we know James, and we know some of the others, and Matthew and Luke and others, but often we don't realize that Andrew was one of the initial disciples and followers of Jesus, because we don't often hear his name much. We lose sight of the fact that Andrew was one of the two disciples that were with one of the first followers of Jesus. And that's why this morning I want to invite your attention just for a few moments as we make some observations from Andrew's life that I believe can come beneficial and really transformative, that if you and I become serious about the call and the assignment and the task of sharing Jesus with others. That I hope this morning that as we walk through and look at the life of Andrew, that you and I in a greater light will see the significance and the importance and ultimately the impact that we can have by simply sharing Jesus. That if you and I would take serious, like we do with everything else we engage in, if we would take serious this simple assignment, this simple task of sharing Jesus, we will see ultimately the tremendous impact that we can have in this world by simply sharing Jesus. Couple of observations from his life that we'll glean from this morning. But when we understand and begin to look at the life of Andrew, what makes him so powerful and significant for me this morning is Andrew, whose name means manly, was just an ordinary guy. He was an ordinary guy who ends up doing extraordinary, who has an extraordinary passion for sharing Jesus. He's an ordinary person just like you and I, but what makes him exceptional, what makes him extraordinary, was his passion simply for sharing Jesus. When you look at the Gospels, Andrew never writes a book of the Bible. He's not known for performing any miracles. He never preaches to thousands of people. He never does any of those kinds of things recorded in Scripture. All Andrew is known for is simply having a passion for sharing Jesus. Man, he shares Jesus. He shares Jesus. And some of the people he ends up sharing Jesus with go on to end up doing extraordinary things for Jesus that they never would have if it wasn't for Andrew, who shared Jesus. Yeah, as we look at his life this morning, as we glean, there are a couple of observations that I want to make. And if you're taking notes, and for those of you watching virtually, you can drop them in the chat. And as we share in this time together in God's word, but the first observation that I want us to glean from Andrew is, first of all, I want you to see his commitment. I want you to see his commitment. I want you to see his commitment and how he ends up becoming a committed follower of Jesus Christ. Well, just to kind of give you the clip notes, we know that the forerunner for Jesus was John the Baptist. John the Baptist, who comes along and he begins to preach and he begins to prophesy and he brings a message to the Jewish community and all those who would hear that they need to repent of their sins and turn from their wicked ways and turn to God. That was John the Baptist's assignment as the forerunner for Jesus. He begins to prepare the way. And as John now begins to preach in the wilderness, he begins to share the word of God, many begin to repent, and many now begin to follow John. Initially, Andrew and some others were some initial followers of John the Baptist. But notice the transition here in the passage that is before us. While these persons are now being converted, while they are now being changed, John is influential and instrumental in their life for this reason. John's primary objective and purpose was to initially point people to Jesus. He ends up pointing these Andrew and others. He preaches in an effort to cause people to turn and ultimately point them to Jesus. And as we see this right here in the text, the first part of the text says that as John is there, they see Jesus walking by, and watch this, there is a person like John the Baptist who ends up pointing Andrew and the others to Jesus. Can we just pause for a moment? I want you to think about, some of you are now sitting here in this space and you're worshiping God, and some of you are worshiping virtually. Can we just pause and give God a praise for the people that God put in our life that pointed us to Jesus? Just think about it. I don't know, maybe it was your Sunday school teacher, your youth pastor, or your auntie, or your uncle, or a family member, or a friend, or maybe you came to him through vacation Bible school, or whatever the case may be, or some of your own parents. But I just want you to thank God for the people that God put in your path along your journey that helped pointed you to Jesus. You wouldn't be sitting here now, many of you wouldn't be watching us now if it wasn't for somebody that pointed you to Jesus. And can't we all testify today that our lives are the better because somebody came along and pointed us to Jesus? Watch what John says. John says, look, there he is, the Son of God. And Andrew and the others, they look, because he's pointed them to Jesus, and they do what? They start following Jesus. They say, hey, Jesus, where you going? They become curious, and they stop because they've been pointed in a different direction, and they start following Jesus. The text says that here, because they've been converted under John, they now commit to following Jesus. They follow Jesus. Jesus said, hey, you want to know where I'm going? Come on, see. And they end up following Jesus. And the text says that they stayed with him all day. They stayed and they listened and he taught and he shared and they picked up his scent and they were able to glean from him and they were able to share with him. And now look at Andrew, watch this. He now becomes committed. He's been converted. He commits to following Jesus. And watch this, y'all. It leads to him being convinced that he is the Messiah. Can I tell you, that's what our commitment ought to lead to. Our commitment to following Jesus ought to lead to us being convinced. Maybe that's the problem with us. Maybe the problem with our reluctance, see, to share Jesus is maybe we ain't convinced. Yeah. You ask me where to go to Mexico, and I'll tell you, because I'm convinced that the food is good. Matter of fact, I wouldn't even recommend. You ask me if you're trying to build something at your house, I'm not going to recommend anybody that I don't have confidence in, or I'm not convinced myself that they can get the job done. Are y'all with me? Maybe the problem with our reluctance, see, to share Jesus is because maybe we ain't as convinced as we need to be. Andrew shows us here in the passage this morning, he shows us that after he's been converted, after he has now committed his life to following Jesus, and he's now had the opportunity to be close and to share with Jesus and to experience him and listen to him teach, he becomes convinced. And I really believe in this season, in light of everything we're experiencing, God wants to raise up a church. He wants to raise up some people who are convinced that he is the way, who is convinced that he is the Messiah, who is convinced that your life will be transformed, your life will be changed if you come to Jesus. I wonder, is there anybody in this place this morning that you've lived long enough, you've walked with him long enough, you've seen him work in your own life long enough that you are convinced? Is there at least 10 of y'all in here that says, you know what, I've seen, I've experienced, I've known what he's done in my own life, and I am convinced that Jesus is the way. He is committed, and his commitment, y'all, then leads and gives him confidence. He's committed because he's been converted. Somebody pointed him to Jesus, and he's committed to following, and he's become convinced that this is the Messiah. This is the Son of God. And his commitment, here is the next one, gives him confidence. It gives him confidence because he's been convinced, and he now has confidence that Jesus is who John has said he is and who Jesus professes to be. He now has confidence. I want to pray and prophesy over this church and ministry that God raises up some people that got confidence. I want to talk to some people who are watching that in this season, what God wants to do even on this day, even in this church, he wants to give you a boost in confidence. I wish I had somebody here. And I'm going to tell you, you know what the best example and the best confidence booster is? If you have a phone, you ought to just look it up and put your mirror up, because you are the best evidence that somebody else needs to know. Because when they see what Jesus has done in your life, the change that he's made in your life, what more confidence do you need than what you've seen him do in your own life? Has he worked miracles for anybody? Has he healed anybody? Has he saved anybody? Has he done anything for your family? And if you know it was Jesus, listen, I'm not saying you gotta know Genesis from Revelations. You may not be able to interpret all of the books of the Bible and all of that other kind of stuff, but if you know the Lord has done something in your life and has made a change in your life, that is all the confidence that you need. Andrew has confidence. Confidence that Jesus is the Messiah. He has confidence in what he's experienced in his own life by spending time with Jesus. It's given him confidence. Can I tell you, listen. See, the reason sometimes I believe we don't operate with this level of confidence is because we haven't fully grasped or fully accepted or embraced the work that Jesus has done in our own lives. Because we constantly let the enemy keep telling us who we ain't become yet. And we let the enemy work through family members and friends, and we doubt, we second guess the work that Jesus has done in our life. Yeah. And I want you to know, that's how the enemy dupes the body. Because we fully don't embrace the change that Jesus has made in our life. Because for some reason or another, we bought into this notion that we gotta be perfect. And so we negate the transformation,
the growth, the development, the maturity. Because we are always letting the enemy and others point out our flaws and our inadequacies. And what that does in a subtle way is it keeps us quiet. That's what it does. It keeps us reserved. It keeps us reluctant in sharing. And that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to silence us. You sitting in class and you know the answer, but you won't raise your hand. You know the answer, but there's something you don't let you raise your hand. And that is what we do when it comes to sharing Jesus. Where there is a lack of confidence in one's salvation, there will be a lack of power in one's witness. When you lack confidence in your own salvation, we will lack the power in our witness. And I want you to know today, if you have any doubt that you've been changed, that your life has been transformed, that you are saved, you won't have any power to witness to others. First observation we see in the life of Andrew is his commitment to follow. The second observation of the morning is we see the confidence that he now has to share Jesus with others. And he does this, y'all, out of the third observation for me this morning is out of genuine concern for others. We see he's committed. He becomes committed. He now has confidence because now when he finds the Messiah, here's what's so powerful, y'all. The moment that Andrew comes into the revelation for himself that he has found the Messiah, that the one that has been prophesied and preached for centuries and years, they have now found the Messiah. The Messiah has now come in flesh and is now among them in their midst. And he's actually been with him. He's talked with him. He shared with him. When Andrew comes into this revelation, watch this, y'all. The first thing he does is say, I gotta go tell my brother. I gotta go tell my brother. We found the Messiah, and he's concerned. He becomes concerned. Let me give you another word. He becomes burdened. That I just can't keep this to myself. I just can't keep this to myself. He becomes concerned about his brother's spiritual well-being. It's not enough for me to have found the Messiah for myself and then don't go and share it with at least, at the very bare minimum, the people that's closest to me. Listen. Let's take some of the evangelism pressure off. I'm not talking about initially you walking, going, talking to some stranger, going door knocking. I know that might be a little too much for you in this season. And I know we're in a season of social distancing and all that. I get all of that, right? But I'm talking about at bare minimum. At just bare minimum. The people in your own house. I'm talking about at bare minimum. You ought to want to share Jesus with your family, with your friends. I'm talking about Aunt Joan and Cousin Bob. I'm talking about Skeeta and Pookie. You know what I'm saying? The cousin that you don't even know their real name. You just know them by their nickname. You don't even know their real name. I'm talking about sharing Jesus with all these people on your social media platforms and friends. I mean, my God, it's at a button now. It's been reduced. You ain't got to go door knocking. You can just mash a button. Just match your button. Just matter of fact, some of y'all try it right now. Take out your phone right now and share the service right now. It's interesting to me how we'll sit and we'll come and we'll have Pastor Jones. We're here later area talk about, come on, y'all, share the service. And you'll sit right here. You're watching right now. And you still won't match the button. But let a scandal be floating on social media. Let somebody be twerking, or let somebody be fighting, or let something crazy, and we're quick to watch, and we're quick to send and say, girl, look at this. Man, did you see this? but how many of us, even on our own pages, we post anything about Jesus? How many of us post the messages from the service, or the devotions, or the inspiration, or how many of us do that? How many of us do that? And hear how the enemy continues to win, and we'll share everything else, but we won't share Jesus. So my question is, are you really burdened about lost souls? Do you really care that your family and your friends know Jesus? Are you really concerned? I love Andrew, because the moment he comes into the revelation, the moment he's found Jesus, the moment he's found something good and he knows Jesus is the best thing, the moment he does that, he doesn't want to just keep it for himself. He says, I gotta go and tell my brother. Who are you running the tale? Can I tell you? I want you to understand the gravity of this. I want you to understand the opportunity that we have. Y'all, the enemy ain't playing no games. The enemy is using every opportunity and every platform that he has, and he has demons that he's employing, and he's embracing, and he's taking over this culture, that this culture is no longer sensitive to good versus evil. This culture is no longer sensitive, and there's demonic activity saturating our lives and saturating the lives of family members and friends, while we, as the good Christians, sit quiet. Just yesterday with my 13-year-old, we're sitting down and we're having a conversation, and I'm looking at what he is now showing me on his phone, and what his friends are talking about, and what has dominated social media just in the last 24 hours, where you got some joker by the name of Lil Nas who has now created a satanic Nike tennis shoe and makes a video, and he is twerking because he is known to be a homosexual rapper, and he is twerking, giving Satan a lap dance. And my 13-year-old son says, Daddy, have you seen this? And we sit down and start having a conversation. And it gives me an opportunity to say, son, this is what demonic activity looks like. And son, what you got to do at 13 is you got to pray for Lil Nas to give his life to Jesus. Because our culture has become insensitive, and our culture dances with the devil. And as y'all was sitting there singing, you don't know how it spoke to me, the praise song this morning, when you were singing Dance in His Presence. While the culture is embracing dancing with the devil, there needs to be another voice that's sounding. There needs to be somebody that opposes something that says, no, you need to change dance partners. Because dancing with him leads to death and destruction. Dancing to him will destroy your life. But if you change partners, I know another dance partner that will give you life, that will change your life. I wish I had somebody here that says, thank God that you changed partners. He is concerned. I wonder, are you concerned? If you're concerned watching, if you're concerned sitting here, and if you're burdened, then who you gonna tell this week? Who those three names that you've just heard and your pastor has shared, have you written them down? Are they in your phone? Are they in your Bible? Those of you watching right now, put names in the chat right now. Do you have your names? Are you committed to praying for them all week long and even beyond this week, not just about Easter, but are you committed to praying and keeping them on the altar and being their intercessor until you see them saved? I'm done. But Andrew, because he's committed, because he is convinced that Jesus is the Messiah, he becomes concerned about the lost. That's what I think our church needs now more than ever, is people who are concerned, people who have a burden for seeing people come to Jesus. And here's the last thing. Because he's concerned, he becomes compelled. He becomes compelled. He becomes compelled to tell others. He says, I gotta go and get my brother.
Man, I just kind of in my mind envision this sibling thing. I don't know if Andrew was the younger brother or Simon is the older brother. I don't know, but if they're like siblings like mine, I can imagine him trying to get his brother to go somewhere with him. Like, what you want, man? I'm doing my thing. What you want? And he's so convincing and so compelling that I don't know how he gets him from wherever he is. But he's so compelling. I don't know, was it in his face? Was it in his voice? I don't know what it was. But when he got to where his brother was, his brother leaves and stops and comes. And when he gets there, because here's the power of this, y'all. All you and I gotta do is share him. It's not our job to save. Our task, our assignment is to share. Somebody shout, share.
Our job is to share.
He shares with his brother. His brother comes, and my God, Jesus does the rest. Jesus does. Can I tell you, all you got to do is share. All you got to do is invite. And I promise you, if you get them in this atmosphere, if you get them to log on, that's all you got to do is say, hey, watch this. Hey, come with me next week. And if you get them in this atmosphere with this kind of anointing, with this kind of preaching, with this kind of atmosphere, connecting with people like you, and they feel the koinonia of the fellowship, can I tell you, all you got to do is get them in this building. And can I tell you, the Holy Spirit and God and Jesus, they will do the rest. I wish I had somebody here. Are there any witnesses under the sound of my voice that knows all we got to do is be compelled to share Jesus? And the moment we share Jesus, Jesus will do the rest. You want to know how I know that works? Because I see you sitting in here right now, and all of you are here as the result of somebody invited you, somebody shared with you, and Jesus did the rest. Is there anybody here, as I close this morning, can just thank God that somebody shared Jesus with you and your life has not been the same? Can somebody give God a praise right now? And somebody just lift their hands and say, thank you, Jesus, that somebody shared Jesus with me. And so, church, Bridge, look at somebody, point at them. For those of you watching, just look at them, find somebody, look at them, point to them, and say, share Jesus now. Come on, give God praise all over this place. I want to pray. And I want you to understand, your sharing Jesus is going to do one of three things.
When you share Jesus with that family member, that friend, for those of you that's watching, it's going to do one of three things. One, it's either going to sow a seed. It's either going to water a seed, or it's going to yield a harvest. You don't know which one of those your sharing is going to do, but either you're going to be sharing and it's going to plant a seed. They may not respond today or next week, but it may be the seed that gets planted. And if God uses you in that way, to God be the glory. Or you sharing is going to water a seed that maybe now in this season is going to help somebody grow, that somebody years ago invited them to Jesus and they didn't respond. And maybe God uses you in this moment to water. Or lastly, maybe you're sharing Jesus in this moment, this time and space, yields a harvest. Maybe they respond in this season. Maybe they come. Maybe they give their life. Y'all, when Andrew invites and shares Jesus with Simon, notice the Bible says that when Simon, when Andrew invites his brother and they come, watch what happens. Jesus looks at him and he comes. And Jesus changes his name. Jesus transforms his life. And y'all, all because Andrew shared, look at what Peter becomes. Y'all know Peter, right? Peter. The same Peter that makes the revelation and declaration on the mount of Jesus being the Christ, and Jesus says, upon your confession and revelation, I'm going to build my church. That was Peter. Peter is never in that moment if it wasn't for Andrew. What I really believe, what God wants to raise up in Bridge, man, it's great to have singers, it's great to have musicians, it's great to have greeters, but I really believe God wants to raise up some Andrews in this church. Whew. What the church needs now more than ever is the church needs Andrews. It needs Andrews that will just simply share Jesus. For those names that you have, I want to pray, and then I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor. For those of you that are watching right now, for those names that you have, you got three names, just three. Some of you might have more than that, but just three. Just those names that you have right now, whether they're in your phone, on a notepad, right now in this moment, come on, let's pray. I want God to use you today. If they're in your phone, just hold up your phone. And for those of you that's watching right now online, put those names in the comments, and let's come into agreement that we're going to see a harvest like never before in the body of Christ. I'm praying for Bridge. I want you to pray for Abyssinia, and we're going to pray together, and we're going to begin to rush the altar, and we're going to begin to believe God in a mighty way that many will come to him, that souls are going to be saved, and lives are going to be transformed, and people are going to come back to God. They're going to come back to church, and they're going to come because God is going to use us as instruments and vehicles to share. Father, I thank you now. I thank you, God, first of all, that someone was not stingy and selfish in our own lives. That God, you've used people in our lives across our journey to share Jesus with us. And now here we are. Our lives are the better. You've done a tremendous work in us. And we thank you for the transformation and the change that we've experienced in our own lives. But now, God, it's time for us to reciprocate what was done to us and for us. So God, we're not going to be stingy. We're not going to be selfish, because you are too good to keep to ourselves. And so God, we know there are many who are hurting. There are many who are seeking. There are many who are confused.
And we know that you are the way. We know you are the answer. We are convinced because we know what you've done in our own lives. And so now, God, we got phones raised. We have names in the chat. We've written names on this notepad. And God, we ask that you now give us the confidence that we need. Take away all timidness. Take away all reluctancy. Take away any apprehension, any reservation. And God, Holy Spirit, give us boldness to reach this lost and hurting world. And Father, we start right now with our family members. We start with our friends. We start with our circles because we want to see them saved. So right now, Father, with phones raised, with notepads and names listed and names in this chat, right now, God, we give them to you. And God, we see them saved. We claim it now. We thank you for it now. We thank you for the change. We thank you for the transformation. Oh, God, we see in the spirit who they're becoming in you. In Jesus' name. Now use us as instruments. Use us as vehicles for your glory. In the name of Jesus, we shout amen. Can we give God praise all over this house? Come on, lift those hands and give our God praise. Hallelujah.
Amen. Can we put our hands together with Pastor Nelson? Come on, we can do better than that. I need us to make some noise for this awesome word. Amen. The thing that I love about this word that God has given us today through Pastor Nelson was this was not something that he and I even talked about. This wasn't a conversation that we had. So I think it's just interesting and fitting how God oftentimes is moving through us as a church and through his body and through the people of God, that when we are in step with the Spirit, as the Bible talks about in Galatians 5, we begin to see things come into agreement. And I believe that one of the greatest things that God wants us to lean into this season as a church, online as well, is that we will be a people who share. Everybody say share. And I think, Pastor, one of the things that we have seen over this past year is with COVID taking place, you know, naturally, all the attention, I think, to some degree, caused us to just kind of focus on ourselves. Let me just take care of myself. Let me just take care of my house. I got to make sure my health is straight. I got to make sure that my family's good. And if I'm good, then it's all good. And I don't think that's the spirit of Christ, because Jesus never just says, I want you to focus on you. He says, I've called you to be about others. And we need to be a church that's an others-centered church. Amen, somebody? Y'all not talking to me. Amen, somebody? My prayer is that God would break us, not just our church, but I think in the body of Christ, there is a stronghold of selfishness in this season. And my prayer is that God will break us out of that. And it's a stronghold where we're not sharing Christ with people. It's a stronghold where we're not sharing our resources with the kingdom. We're not living open-handed, but yet we're asking God for more. And God is saying, I want you to live in such of a way where your life now is a reservoir of my grace to others. That we will be a people who share Jesus and all the great things that he's done. And I believe that God has done great things for every single person in this room and watching online. I believe that every person has testimonies right now of God's goodness. Come on, some of y'all, I know I won't tell your story. Some of y'all had COVID during this season and it did not take you out, but you were healed and set free. Come on, somebody. He kept you through the financial lapses. He kept you through the accident. And God says, now, go tell somebody. Share with somebody. So thank you, Pastor, for this incredible word that you have given to us to fan the flame of our faith so we can share Christ. And some of us may be here in person and may be watching online, and you don't know this Jesus that we're talking about. And I'm here to let you know, as Pastor Nelson said, that this Jesus is the one who can change your life. You may have looked to every other source. You may have looked to this person and that person. But I want you to know there's only one person who can save your soul. There's only one person who can set you free. There's only one person who can heal your marriage. He is the King of Glory. He is the Prince of Peace. And his name is Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and you're saying, Pastor Edwin, I don't know this Jesus, and I want to be in a relationship with this Jesus, we want to introduce you to him. We want to lead you in a prayer of faith to guide you into a relationship with Christ. And so here's what I'm going to ask us to do. you're in person, whether you're online, if this is you, just with heads bowed, if you could do me a favor, just go ahead and bow your hands, close your eyes. If this is you and you're saying, I want to give my life to Jesus today. Maybe some of you are following Christ, but you fell off over this past year. You need to recommit your life to Christ. Because the good news is, even though you may have drifted from him, he never drifted from you. And so for some of us today, it means you need to come back to him. But for some of us, it means you need to come to him for the first time. And so if that's you, here's what I want you to do. I want you, if you're in person, nobody's watching, nobody's looking, could you just slip up your hand? I just want to see if you're here. You're saying, I want to recommit my life to Christ. I want to give my life to Jesus for the first time. If you're online, I want you to be a part of this as well. But if you're ready today to say yes to Christ, to rededicate, to recommit your life to him, to put your faith and trust in him for the first time, say these words after me. It is a prayer of faith. It is a prayer of confession, where we declare that he is our Lord and our Savior. Repeat these words. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you rose from the grave on the third day to give me life and life more abundantly. Jesus, be my Lord. Jesus, be my Savior. Thank you for new life. Now you have mine. In Jesus' name. And every person said amen. Come on, church family, can we put our hands together for every single person who said yes to Jesus? Come on, I need y'all to make some noise in the comments.